The Golden Bough. A Study of Magic and Religion. By Sir James George Frazer. This audiobook was produced by Klaus-Dieter Mond, Rastatt, Germany and is published under the conditions of the Gutenberg Organization. Chapter 54. Types of Animal Sacrament. Section 2. Processions with Sacred Animals. The form of communion in which the sacred animal is taken from house to house, that all may enjoy a share of its divine influence, has been exemplified by the Gilyak custom of promenading the bear through the village before it is slain. A similar form of communion with the sacred snake is observed by a snake tribe in the Punjab. Once a year in the month of September, the snake is worshipped by all castes and religions for 9 days only. At the end of August, the Myrisons, especially those of the snake tribe, make a snake of dough which they paint black and red, and place on a winnowing basket. This basket they carry round the village, and on entering any house they say, "God be with you all. May every ill be far. May our patrons, Gugas, word thrive." Then they present the basket with the snake, saying, "A small cake of flour, a little bit of butter, if you obey the snake, you and yours shall thrive." Strictly speaking, a cake and butter should be given, but it is seldom done. Everyone, however, gives something, generally a handful of dough or some corn. In houses where there is a new bride or whence a bride has gone, or where a son has been born, it is usual to give a rupee and a quarter, or some cloth. Sometimes the bearers of the snake also sing. Give the snake a piece of cloth, and he will send a lively bride. When every house has been thus visited, the dough snake is buried and a small grave is erected over it. Thither during the 9 days of September the women come to worship. They bring a basin of curds, a small portion of which they offer at the snake's grave, kneeling on the ground and touching the earth with their foreheads. Then they go home and divide the rest of the curds among the children. Here the dough snake is clearly a substitute for a real snake. Indeed, in districts where snakes abound the worship is offered, not at the grave of the dough snake, but in the jungles where snakes are known to be. Besides this yearly worship, performed by all the people, the members of the snake tribe worship in the same way every morning after a new moon. The snake tribe is not uncommon in the Punjab. Members of it will not kill a snake, and they say that its bite does not hurt them. If they find a dead snake, they put clothes on it and give it a regular funeral. Ceremonies closely analogous to this Indian worship of the snake have survived in Europe into recent times, and doubtless date from a very primitive paganism. The best known example is the hunting of the wren. By many European peoples, the ancient Greeks and Romans, the modern Italians, Spaniards, French, Germans, Dutch, Danes, Swedes, English, and Welsh, the wren has been designated the king, the little king, the king of birds, the hedge king, and so forth, and has been reckoned amongst those birds which it is extremely unlucky to kill. In England it is supposed that if anyone kills a wren or harries its nest, he will infallibly break a bone or meet with some dreadful misfortune within the year. Sometimes it is thought that the cows will give bloody milk. In Scotland the wren is called the Lady of Heaven's hen, and boys say, "Malisons, Malisons, mare them ten, that harry the Lady of Heaven's hen." At St. Donan, in Brittany, people believe that if children touch the young wrens in the nest, they will suffer from the fire of St. Lawrence, that is, from pimples on the face, legs, and so on. In other parts of France it is thought that if a person kills a wren or harries its nest, his house will be struck by lightning, or that the fingers with which he did the deed will shrivel up and drop off, or at least be maimed, or that his cattle will suffer in their feet. Notwithstanding such beliefs, the custom of annually killing the wren has prevailed widely both in this country and in France. In the Isle of Man down to the 18th century the custom was observed on Christmas Eve, or rather Christmas morning. On the 24th of December, towards evening, all the servants got a holiday. They did not go to bed all night, but rambled about till the bells rang in all the churches at midnight. When prayers were over, they went to hunt the wren, and having found one of these birds, they killed it and fastened it to the top of a long pole with its wings extended. Thus they carried it in procession to every house, chanting the following rhyme: "We hunted the wren for Robin the Bobbin, we hunted the wren for Jack of the Can, we hunted the wren for Robin the Bobbin, we hunted the wren for everyone." When they had gone from house to house and collected all the money they could, they laid the wren on a bier and carried it in procession to the parish churchyard, where they made a grave and buried it, with the utmost solemnity, singing dirges over her in the Manx language, which they call Hanel. After which Christmas begins. The burial over, the company outside the churchyard formed a circle and danced to music. A writer of the 18th century says that in Ireland the wren is still hunted and killed by the peasants on Christmas Day, and on the following, St. Stephen's Day, he is carried about, hung by the leg, in the center of two hoops, crossing each other at right angles, and a procession made in every village, of men, women, and children, singing an Irish catch, importing him to be the king of all birds. Down to the present time, the hunting of the wren still takes place in parts of Leinster and Connacht. On Christmas Day or St. Stephen's Day, the boys hunt and kill the wren, fasten it in the middle of a mass of holly and ivy on the top of a broomstick, and on St. Stephen's Day go about with it from house to house, singing: the wren, the king of all birds, St. Stephen's Day was caught in the furze. Although he is little, his family is great, I pray you, good landlady, give us a treat. Money or food, bread, butter, eggs, etc., were given them, upon which they feasted in the evening. In the first half of the 19th century, similar customs were still observed in various parts of the south of France. Thus at Carcassonne, every year on the first Sunday of December, the young people of the street Saint Jean used to go out of the town armed with sticks, with which they beat the bushes, looking for wrens. The first to strike down one of these birds was proclaimed king. Then they returned to the town in procession, headed by the king, who carried the wren on a bole. On the evening of the last day of the year, the king and all who had hunted the wren marched through the streets of the town to the light of torches, with drums beating and fifes playing in front of them. At the door of every house they stopped, and one of them wrote with chalk on the door of Yves Le Roy, with the number of the year which was about to begin. On the morning of Twelfth Day the king again marched in procession with great pomp, wearing a crown and a blue mantle and carrying a scepter. In front of him was borne the wren fastened to the top of a pole, which was adorned with a verdant wreath of olive, of oak, and sometimes of mistletoe grown on an oak. After hearing high mass in the parish church of St. Vincent, surrounded by his officers and guards, the king visited the bishop, the mayor, the magistrates, and the chief inhabitants, collecting money to defray the expenses of the royal banquet which took place in the evening and wound up with a dance. The parallelism between this custom of hunting the wren and some of those which we have considered, especially the Gilliac procession with the bear, and the Indian one with the snake, seems too close to allow us to doubt that they all belong to the same circle of ideas. The worshipful animal is killed with special solemnity once a year, and before or immediately after death he is promenaded from door to door, that each of his worshippers may receive a portion of the divine virtues that are supposed to emanate from the dead or dying god. Religious processions of this sort must have had a great place in the ritual of European peoples in prehistoric times, if we may judge from the numerous traces of them which have survived in folk custom. For example, on the last day of the year, or Hogmanay as it was called, it used to be customary in the Highlands of Scotland for a man to dress himself up in a cow's hide and thus attired to go from house to house, attended by young fellows, each of them armed with a staff, to which a bit of royal hide was tied. Round every house the hide-clad man used to run thrice decile, that is, according to the course of the sun, so as to keep the house on his right hand, while the others pursued him, beating the hide with their staves and thereby making a loud noise like the beating of a drum. In this disorderly procession they also struck the walls of the house. On being admitted, one of the party, standing within the threshold, pronounced a blessing on the family in these words, "May God bless the house and all that belongs to it, cattle, stones, and timber, in plenty of meat, of bed and body clothes, and health of men may it ever abound." Then each of the party sinked in the fire a little bit of the hide which was tied to his staff. And having done so, he applied the singed hide to the nose of every person and of every domestic animal belonging to the house. This was imagined to secure them from diseases and other misfortunes, particularly from witchcraft, throughout the ensuing year. The whole ceremony was called Kalyun because of the great noise made in beating the hide. It was observed in the Hebrides, including Saint Kilda, down to the second half of the 18th century at least, and it seems to have survived well into the 19th century.